In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes, when we're going through a very difficult time in our life, we may at least be tempted to ask, we may be too pious to actually verbalize it, but we'll at least be thinking it, God, do you not care? Do you not care what I'm going through? Where are you at? Well, this last week in the daily gospel readings, we heard the apostles asking that very question. It's in the Gospel of Mark chapter 4, beginning with verse 35. Christ had been instructing the multitudes that followed him. He had healed many sick people. And after dismissing them, it says, "In the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also others with him in other little ships." And so Christ had taught the multitudes and done all these things all day, but when it got dark, he finally told the multitudes to go home, but not wanting to waste any time, having the next thing he needed to do in mind, he told his disciples, "Let's go ahead and sail to the other side." So one thing that this shows us is an example of the kind of diligence that Christ had that should be an example to us. There's so much time that we waste, and that's not to say that we can always be at 100% productivity. There are times when we do need to just sort of relax. There's times that we need to rest. There's times that we need to take a step back. But if we took half of the time that we just waste on unproductive things in a given day, it would be amazing the things that any one of us could do. But we also see that Christ didn't miss even this opportunity to instruct his disciples, because all that happened afterwards was by his design. It says in verse 37, "There arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full." The Sea of Galilee is 13 miles long from north to south, and at its widest point, it's about 8 miles wide. So it's not a big lake. It's really not even a sea. It's a freshwater lake. But it's about 680 feet below sea level. And the hills and the ravines on its west side are configured in such a way that they, when a cold front comes over from the west, they function somewhat like a funnel for the wind. And people who've observed this in modern times describe it as if the wind is blowing in every direction at one time. And the Sea of Galilee can look like it's as placid as can be. It's just a sea of glass. It's untroubled at all. And then all of a sudden, over those hills will come a storm. And the Sea of Galilee can turn into a bubbling cauldron. And added to all this, that even if this would happen in daytime, it would be scary enough, but for it to be happening in the dark would add to the terror that the disciples experienced. Also, in the Gospel of Matthew, when it describes this tempest, it uses the word to describe the sea that normally would be translated as earthquake, and that should give you some idea of what it was that he was trying to describe. And then it says that he, Christ, was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and they say unto him, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" They were in desperation. They were in fear of their lives. And these were experienced fishermen that had spent their entire lives on this very lake. And so they knew how to handle a boat. But they were in a desperate strait, and they see Christ, and he's asleep, and they're wondering, "Don't you care?" How many times do we feel that way? It seems like God's asleep. It seems like God's not answering our prayers. "Don't you care, God?" That's how we feel. And you might think that's a very impious thing for them to say. And it does show a certain lack of faith, a certain lack of spiritual maturity for someone to really wonder if God cares. But you find it even expressed in the Psalms. "God, do you not care? Do you not hear?" This is being honest with God when we feel this way, to pray this way. But the very fact that they turned to Christ in this crisis shows that they had a very little faith. It was not much, but they had a little faith that he could do something about this. One thing that this tells us is Christ was truly a man. He really did sleep. He really did have to eat. He felt hungry. And he was as a man sleeping. He was tired. He'd been busy all day. And he was sleeping. But he was also God. And as God, he was not asleep. In Psalm 120, it says, "Behold, he shall not slumber, nor shall he sleep, he that keepeth Israel. The Lord shall keep thee. The Lord is thy shelter at thy right hand. The sun shall not burn thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall keep thee from all evil. The Lord shall guard thy soul. The Lord shall keep thy coming in and thy going out from henceforth and forevermore." And then it says, "And he arose, and he rebuked the wind, and he said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them," to the disciples, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" When God parted the Red Sea, we're told that Moses prayed. As a matter of fact, he kept praying, and so finally God told him, "Stop talking to me and go do what I told you to do." I mean, that Moses knew that he wasn't the one that was working this miracle. And we're told that he lifted up his rod and he stretched out his hands and the sea was parted. But here we see that Moses was acting as God's servant and he was working a miracle by the power of God. But when Christ worked this miracle, there was no prayer. There was no lifting up of a rod. Christ simply spoke to the wind and the waves and said, "Peace be still," and they were calm. And so by this, he was showing that he wasn't just simply a prophet, that he wasn't just simply a servant, but that he was God. And it says, "And they feared exceedingly, and they said to one another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" So Christ shows his disciples that he was not merely a man, but that he was God. He was the manner of man that they were dealing with was a manner of man that was unlike any other man that had ever walked the face of this earth before or since. So why did this happen? Christ allowed this to happen because he wanted to test their faith, and he wanted to teach them to look to him, to pray. He also showed them that their faith was weak, but he also was raising up their understanding of who he was. When Christ said, "Why are you so fearful?" those of us that are parents, we can relate to the fact that we often ask our children questions, and it's not really that we're seeking an answer, but we're trying to get them to think. Like very often we'll say, "What were you thinking?" And we're not expecting to get a long discourse on what it was that they were thinking, because in most cases the issue is that they weren't thinking. They just did something without thinking, and that we're trying to get them to ponder that, that maybe they should give things more thought before they just do something that warrants some rebuke. And Christ, when he said, "Have ye no faith? Why are you so fearful?" he was asking his disciples to think about the fact, did you not just see what I did, and did you not see what I've been doing all the time that you spent with me? I work one miracle after another. Why did you think that you could be in a boat with me and that this storm could cause you to perish while I'm in the boat with you? And their reaction was that they were terrified. They were struck by this. This was something that they never forgot. This account that we read in Mark is an account that Mark heard St. Peter preach, and he probably preached it many times. And again, as I've mentioned before, I'm sure that St. Peter relived this event in his mind as he preached it to people. It was such a powerful event. And he even told on himself when he said that he and the other apostles were questioning, "Don't you care, God?" He was not trying to cover the fact that they were weak. But this helped them to eventually come to the point that they could understand who it was that they were dealing with. If we believe that Christ is who we say that he is, we need never be afraid. As St. Paul says, "If God be for us, who can be against us?" If Christ is with us and we are with him, we need never fear, no matter how the winds and the waves may threaten. God is in control, and in his good time he will say, "Peace be still," and all will be calm. Amen.